comprehensive peace deal, they said, pointing out that Israel recently demarcated its maritime border with another neighbor, Cyprus, to assure that gas exploration rights of all parties in the Mediterranean are maintained. But Lebanon never agreed to negotiate directly with Israel, which it considers its enemy. Now, a Houston-based company, Noble Energy, which is responsible for the Mediterranean gas explorations in partnership with Israel's largest energy concerns, such as Delek, estimated on December 29th of 2010 that the most recently explored area, Leviathan, contains at least 16 trillion cubic feet of natural gas. And then there's the Tamar discovery made in January of 2009, 8.4 trillion cubic feet of natural gas, and three other smaller ones, all which turn Israel into an energy exporter for the first time in history. Then, for the Jerusalem Post, December 29th, Noble Energy said Leviathan is the latest major discovery for Noble Energy and easily the largest exploration discovery in our history. This discovery has the potential to position Israel as a natural gas exporting nation. Then from Haaretz, Haaretz.com, on January 5th, 2011, the race for gas and oil. It's very possible that Israel's on its way to becoming Saudi Arabia or Iran. The discovery of a store of natural gas in the Mediterranean Sea is likely to have significant implications for Israel. In an interview with Channel 10, Netanyahu said that Israel, under his leadership, was becoming an economic superpower. Wow. From Arut Sheva, or Sheva, Israeli National News, Israel, the best economy in the West. With Israel, the best economy among all the 33 nations of the West, coupled with this discovery, massive discovery, no wonder Netanyahu is saying Israel's becoming an economic superpower. But that's not all. What's really frightening about this, from Debka, the Debka file, Putin's eyes are on Lebanon's energy sources. It appears that Vladimir Putin in Russia has got his sights set on some of the energy stores recently discovered in Israel. And he's doing an end run. I can't go through the details of the article, but I'll distill them for you. He is attempting to come through the back door, setting up an arrangement with Lebanon that calls Israel its enemy and say, we'll come in and we'll protect you and we'll help develop these oil and gas sources. They're off your coast, and all you have to do is allow us to have tap into that oil. And we're going to provide you with all kinds of advanced weapons, and we're going to provide you with prestige and money so that you can become the financial capital of the Middle East. Oh, Putin is obviously up to something, isn't he? And he's combined his efforts with the Turkish Prime Minister, Erdogan, and together they are coordinating an effort to take dominion in Lebanon for a spoil. And according to my reading of Ezekiel 38 and 39, it will be Russia and Turkey and Iran and Libya and a number of other nations with them that will coordinate their efforts to come in to Israel in the latter days to take a spoil. Friends, it's all right here. Time is short. People, get ready. Jesus is coming soon. We'll be coming home. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Thanks for joining us. Become a partner. Send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia 23255. Get your book, Seduction of the Saints, today. Don't delay.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the...
Well, this is Dr. Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Van Smith. And we're going to be talking about a strange and mysterious monument. Many years ago, it was 1986, I got involved in the AIDS epidemic, and certainly as an orthopedic surgeon, this wasn't my field, but it seemed only logical that we would use standard and effective public health approaches to try to stop the spread of a disease that was killing people here in the United States. It was beginning to decimate the gay population. We feared it was going to spread into the homosexual, into the heterosexual population, and so the doctors in my community came up with a number of standard public health approaches that should be used. I mean, routine testing, contact tracing, routine premarital testing, routine prenatal and postnatal testing for the disease, trying to stop the spread of a sexually transmitted disease. And there was tremendous opposition. And it was not only here in California, but all across the country. And so I spent a number of years trying to address the epidemic, and at every turn we were blocked. I got a note just 2 days ago from a doctor in Australia who'd had the same experience. In Australia, there was an effort to block the implementation of the public health measures which would stop the spread of the disease. Now, why would that be? Well, it didn't make any sense. Didn't make any sense to the doctor in Australia. Didn't make any sense to me. Was it a communist conspiracy? What was it? Well, and then, of course, I was introduced to the concept of population control. And somebody told me about a monument in Elberton, Georgia, where they talked about eliminating well, over 90% of the world's population. It was called the Georgia Guidestones, American Stonehenge, and it was an occult monument put up by a secret society. And so I wrote about it, and then other people began analyzing it, and our guest this evening, Van Smith, is certainly picked up on this, and he's done a great deal of research, done far more than I ever did, and he's investigated this, come up with some amazing conclusions. And so, Van, thank you so very much for being with us this evening.
Well, thank you, Dr. Monteith, and Happy New Year's. It's always a pleasure to be on your show.
Well, thank you so much. And basically, what motivated you to get involved and try to research and find out what this was really all about, this strange monument there?
Well, certainly the first time that I ever heard about the Georgia Guidestones was either listening to your radio program or reading about it on your website. I had known about it for about 10 years or so, and I had a little bit of time a little over a year ago to investigate it as part of a homeschooling project for our daughters. So we drove the 800 miles to Elberton and researched the Georgia Guidestones, and the things that we found there were far beyond anything that I ever expected.
And really, this is, it's an amazing, amazing story, and the information that Chris Van had been able to put together, I think, is well worthwhile your learning. Because, ladies and gentlemen, this is simply not an aberration. There really are secret societies out there, and certainly this was put up by one secret society. The man who put up the money, his name was secret, and of course the message is there on the Georgia Guidestones, Ten Commandments, which I believe come from the very pit of hell. And the people there in Elberton, many of them feel very uneasy about it, but they just don't quite know what it's all about. Well, you're going to learn tonight, right here at Radio Liberty. Well, Van, you pick up the story.
Okay, sir. Well, first of all, I need to explain that I'm a computer expert. In particular, I'm a computer benchmarking expert. CPU manufacturers hire me to run tests on their CPUs, write tests, and analyze the results and report back to them the merits of their products compared to their competitors. I'm fairly well known within the computing industry, and I have a degree in physics. I have a fairly scientific, rational mind, and I didn't believe all of the rumors circulating about the Georgia Guidestones being a satanic Luciferian monument. I thought when we went to investigate it that we would find that there was some sort of eclectic individual who had plenty of money that wanted to establish some level of immortality by building this granite monument. But after researching it, I'm convinced now, without any doubt, and this is what has motivated me over the last year and a half or so to get the word out on the Georgia Guidestones, that a very powerful occult cabal was behind the Georgia Guidestones. Moreover, this cabal is extraordinarily powerful, and they have sinister designs for everyone outside of their little group. The thing that has motivated me is that I've found hard evidence encoded in the Georgia Guidestones that link that monument conclusively to the Burj Khalifa, which is the tallest building in the world, that just opened last year, January 4th, 2010. And studying the belief systems of these people, these theosophists, it's clear that this Burj Khalifa represents to them a new Tower of Babel. In other words, it's an act by them to defy God and to establish a new age of man on earth where man can undergo apotheosis and become like God himself. And the first person that they have in queue to become God is their new Messiah, a person that everyone else will eventually recognize as the Antichrist. I know it sounds completely crazy, but it all follows rationally after studying the belief system of the people who put this monument up.
Hold
that
thought. Hold that thought. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Van was just saying he's a computer analyst. He's a rational individual, and this idea of secret monument, you know, secret society, secret, he really didn't believe in this sort of thing, and quite rationally, because what we're talking about has nothing to do with rationality. I mean, you're looking for a logic, you're not going to find it when you're dealing with people who have a different worldview. And so, basically, as we begin to analyze this, and he went to Elberton, Georgia, and he found there was a relationship between this organization and this great highest building in the world. Like, that's over in Dubai, isn't it, Van?
Yes, sir, it is.
And of course, this is all ties in together. There are all sorts of secret messages encoded there in the Guidestones, and certainly the symbolism of this tallest building in the world. It's almost like the Tower of Babel, which was built to defy God. Because, ladies and gentlemen, whether you want to admit it or not, there is a conspiracy against God today. And there are people who worship a different God. And though what we're really involved in is a spiritual battle, but it's being played out on a political and ideological and cultural battlefield. But it is indeed a conspiracy against God. So, Van, how did you come to these conclusions? How did you, certainly the traditional story, a man comes to Elberton, Georgia, he says his name is R.C. Christian, but that isn't his name. He wants the monument built because he represents a secret society, but nobody knows who the secret society is, and nobody knows, other than the bank president, president of the local bank, know who this man actually is. And suddenly this monument gets put up, and it's all sort of astrologically designed. It's pointed in certain specific directions having to do with the North Star. But anyway, you pick the story up there.
Sure. Well, first of all, the linkage that I discovered between the Burj Khalifa and the Georgia Guidestones I stumbled upon completely accidentally.
And that, of course, is the tallest building in Dubai, the Burj Khalifa. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. I started looking at the proportions of the different granite components of the Georgia Guidestones. The Georgia Guidestones is a monument that was modeled explicitly after Stonehenge. It's exactly 18 feet tall, and that number 18 has an occult meaning to the designers. 18 is numerologically 6 plus 6 plus 6. In other words, it represents Lucifer, the number of the beast. But there are a lot of those kind of numerological tie-ins with the Georgia Guidestones. The proportions of the Georgia Guidestones themselves, the most important parts of the monument, have the ratio 1:4:10. And when I saw that ratio, I thought, well, you know, that looks like a date, January 4th, 2010. And I was investigating the Georgia Guidestones in October or November of 2009, you know, so that date was just around the corner. So I did some researching to see what was going to happen on January 4th, 2010, on a lark. I didn't think I'd find anything. But lo and behold, I discovered that the Burj Khalifa, at the time, it was called the Burj Dubai, was going to be opened officially on that date. And I was already aware of that building, but I didn't really recognize its resemblance to a ziggurat, the style of spiraling staircase towers that were built in ancient Babylon. The Tower of Babel, in fact, was believed to be a ziggurat. And that's struck me pretty hard because I had been researching the occult beliefs of the Freemasons, the Rosicrucians, and Alice Bailey's New Age movement, and I realized how important the Tower of Babel were to these people. So, you know, just that one connection between the Georgia Guidestones and the Burj Dubai, the Burj Khalifa, wasn't enough to satisfy me. It could have been just an accident. But then I started looking at the proportions of other components in the Georgia Guidestones, and we discovered that the capstone has the proportions of 1:4:6. And interestingly enough, on January 4th, 2006, the ruler of Dubai died unexpectedly on a trip to Australia. And with his death, that cleared the way for Sheikh Maktoum to take over Dubai. And Sheikh Mohammed, I'm sorry, took over Dubai. Sheikh Mohammed was behind the building spree that culminated in the Burj Khalifa. He was so driven to complete the Burj Khalifa that he almost bankrupt Dubai. In fact, on January 4th, 2010, the tower was rechristened, although I hate to use that word, the Burj Khalifa in honor of Sheikh Khalifa of the United Arab Emirates, who stepped in at the last moment to bail out Dubai, who was on the brink of bankruptcy. So the tower is named after Sheikh Khalifa now because he saved Dubai from going under, becoming insolvent. But the most astounding numerological connection, and the thing that makes it absolutely undebatable, that the Georgia Guidestones are connected to the Burj Khalifa, or that the, well, back in November of 2009, I was able to calculate the exact height of the Burj Khalifa before it was even publicly known. I took the proportions of the capstone, added them together, and I got, that's 1 + 4 + 6, I got 11. You take the center stone, the gnomon stone, you add the proportions of it together, you get 13.
Now, for our listeners out there, this is a stone that's just sit there in the center. It's got a hole in it that's, as I remember, headed directly towards the North Star, but it's sort of a conical-shaped stone, big stone, right in the center of the four guide stones. But go right ahead.
Sure. And so I had the numbers 11, 13, and then I had the four guide stones themselves. They have proportions of 1 by 4 by 10, but there are four of them. So if you add 1 plus 4 plus 10 plus 4 together, you get 19. Those are three prime numbers, which is unusual in itself. But if you multiply them together, 11 times 13 times 19, you get 2,717. When I did this in November of 2009, I thought, wow, that sounds like it's pretty close to the height of the tower. And then I researched what the height was supposed to be, and everywhere that I looked, it said it was 2,684 feet. And a few days later, the 2010 Guinness Book of World Records came out, and it too said that the official height of the Burj Dubai was 2,684 feet. So I thought, well, this is a dead end, and I shelved that idea for a while. But on January 4th, 2010, when the tower was officially open, Dubai had a surprise for everybody, and that was that the tower was actually 10 meters higher than everybody believed it to be, and that its actual height was 2,717 feet, the exact height that I had calculated back in November. It's virtually impossible that all of these numerological links between the Georgia Guidestones and the Burj Khalifa could happen by accident. Particularly, it's virtually impossible that the three prime factors for the height of the Burj Khalifa could be encoded by accident in the Georgia Guidestones. If you're not familiar with the prime factors, they are the unique prime numbers that you multiply together to get another number. In other words, there's simply another way to write 2,717. There are no other ways to do it. 11, 13, and 19 are the only way, the only three prime numbers that you can multiply together to get 2,717. The connection between the Georgia Guidestones and the Burj Khalifa is irrefutable. And that took me a long time to come to grasp with, because it demonstrated that the people who were behind the Ten Commandments that were etched in the face of the Guidestones, and they're very sinister, as you've already alluded to, that these people, this wasn't some kook, eccentric kook that had some money left over on his deathbed and wanted to achieve immortality. This was a cabal. It had to be many people who had tremendous amounts of power and were controlling world events to manage to form this plan over 30 years ago that resulted in the construction of the tallest building in the world by far. I mean, the Burj Khalifa is over 1,000 feet taller than the second tallest building ever constructed. That was Taipei 101. I then started taking the Georgia Guidestones very seriously beyond that point. It's what motivates me to this day. I don't profit. I don't benefit from talking about the connection between the Georgia Guidestones and the Burj Khalifa and the occult motivations for these people. The reason that I do that is because there is, I hope you notice, a sense of urgency in my voice. These people are powerful, and they are diabolical, and they have extremely sinister plans for the Earth.
And here's what they want as a world government. The message is written in 8 different languages. Certainly, as I remember, it's a Hebrew and Arabic and English and Russian and Chinese and I think it's Swahili. I've forgotten all of the. You probably know them better. It's been a long time since I've been there. But this is a universal message, and it is coming from a secret society. And it all deals with a new spirituality. It all deals, certainly, with world government. It all deals with the elimination of most of the people in the world because it calls for maintaining humanity at 500 million in constant balance with nature. Go right ahead, Van.
Yes, sir. As you mentioned, that there are 8 languages on the 8 different faces of the Georgia Guidestones, and each one of them repeats the Ten Commandments that are etched in four-inch letters across each.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work, it's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
In these times of falling values, high unemployment, loss of income, and with hyperinflation on its way, we have created a one-ounce silver coin with a cross and the words of John 3:16 on one side and the American Eagle on the other. These coins are mural finished, 0.999 silver. Each of these beautiful coins will always have an earthly store of value plus the cross with John 3:16 as an eternal value. Go to www.john316coin.com and call 1-877-316-COIN while supplies last. Order these beautiful 1-ounce John 316 American Eagle coins today by going to john316coin.com and calling 1-877-316-COIN.
And many other purposes, counters, things of that sort. And, well, until recently, and in recent years, why, cheap granite coming in from communist China has replaced Albertans, so they're having real financial problems, as so many communities are, because of competition from this globalist movement. And so the guidestones are there, but when you talk to people, as I know I talked to several people, you could tell they were very uneasy because they knew there was something sinister about the Georgia Guidestones. So you go right ahead.
Well, we spoke to a preacher at one of the largest churches in the area, and I was very impressed with this man's character. He told us point blank that messages on the Guidestones were sinister, diabolical, satanic, ungodly. He said that bluntly. But he also said that it was very difficult for him to say anything negative about it because of the pressure that was put on him by the Freemasons in his church. Because Elberton in Elbert County is such a stronghold for granite production, there are a huge number of Freemasons because, you know, masonry started with stonemasons many, many years ago. And to this day, Freemasonry is strongly associated with stoneworking. Therefore, Elbert County probably has one of the highest per capita of Freemasons of any county in the world. And they are pretty militaristic about protecting the Georgia Guidestones. Why are they behind it so vigorously? Well, the Guidestones were built by Freemasons. Virtually every hand that touched the Georgia Guidestones during its construction belonged to Freemasons. And that was told to me by Mark Clamp. Mark Clamp's father was the sandblaster who sandblasted all of the writing into all of the granite slabs that are part of the Georgia Guidestones. And he told me that everybody who worked on the monument were Masons themselves. The Freemasons apparently didn't design it. R.C. Christian, this mysterious guy that you talked about earlier, he appears to be a Rosicrucian. And I believe that was something that you've believed for a long time. And the more I research R.C. Christian, the more obvious it becomes that indeed he was a Rosicrucian. Rosicrucians are a very shadowy secret society, much more so than even the Freemasons. The Rosicrucians apparently were actually behind the founding modern Freemasonry in England. The Rosicrucians appeared to be formed after the Knights Templar were put down in Europe, and the Rosicrucians then helped produce modern Freemasonry in England a few years later. But they have at the center of the Rosicrucian mythos is this very strange middle-aged man named R.C. Christian Rosenkreutz. Christian Rosenkreutz. This man has been given basically supernatural powers by the Rosicrucians. They maintain that he's immortal and has appeared throughout history in various guises. One of those guises was the Count of Saint Germain, who was instrumental behind the French Revolution, along with his friend Thomas Paine and Robespierre. And interestingly enough, this same man, R.C. Christian, is also connected with vampire legends out of Eastern Europe.
And, you know, this really sounds so incredible, and yet this is really very, very real. And certainly R.C. Christian is a real individual. He's written a book. He represents a secret society, ties in directly to Thomas Paine. In fact, if you look at the capstone, the inscription there in four different languages, Babylonian, and the Sanskrit, and I've forgotten the four of them, classic Greek, and but basically it says, "Let these be guidestones to the age of reason." That was the book written by Thomas Paine. And you study this, it's all about Thomas Paine and the ancient secret societies.
While the storm clouds gather far across the sea, let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful for a land so fair.
Well, Van, you go right ahead with this story. And basically, of course, there are all sorts of strange, mystical components to this Georgia Guidestones. Somebody put up a great deal of money. And this message is very, very important. So you go right ahead.
Sure. The Rosicrucians, like I said, they're a very mysterious, very secretive group that apparently were behind the birth of speculative Freemasonry in England a few years after the dismemberment of the Knights Templar in Europe. And the center of the Rosicrucian belief system is this character, Christian Rosenkreutz, who is ascribed these supernatural powers and supposedly has appeared many times through history, including being the Count of Saint Germain. The Count of Saint Germain, historically, he is a real historical figure. He existed. There's nobody doubting that. But one interesting thing about him is that he seems to have not aged over the course of many, many years.
We're talking about many, many centuries.
Well, yes. When you talk about R.C. Christian, you're talking about many, many centuries. He's supposedly a man frozen in his middle age, around 50 or so, gray-haired. And like I said, one of his incarnations was supposed to be the Count of Saint Germain, an alias, I suppose, is how you'd refer to him as. But he was instrumental behind the French Revolution.
Now, of course, I'm not suggesting this is true, but this is the legend that fits in there. And then, of course, from your legend, you see something fixed there in stone. We'll be right back in just a moment with Van Smith, the Georgia.